following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Look who's here again today. It's you. Whether you follow us on radio or podcast or social media or from studio to studio, we are so glad you are here. I'm Brian Perez. We do hope you're digging our new digs. We are. Licensed marriage and family therapist, author Mark Cameron is here today. So is parenting expert Dr. Jim Burns. He's the founder of Homeward, and he's written a book or two himself. The latest, available in the newlife.com store, is called When Your Adult Child Strays, Trading Heartache for Hope. Dr. Jim, adult children have been straying since the beginning of time, but why has it reached epidemic levels, and is there a cure?
I love live radio because, as you can see, I'm putting in my earbuds.
Yes.
We're just learning this.
We are.
Ask the question again.
The question was that adult children have been straying since the beginning of time, so what's different now?
Well, they have been straying. That's what's interesting. If you look at the Bible, you see deep pain. The prodigal story of the prodigal son. Just the list goes on and on. Elijah, Samuel. I mean, you're just, just amazing. But I think the difference is that today, in record numbers, we see, our children who have been raised in the church, who, we maybe even put them in Sunday school. They were in youth group. They were doing great. And all of a sudden, they go away and they just walk away from culture. The culture has brought them into a direction. I think there's reasons for that. But I think it's at epidemic stages more than ever before.
Yeah. Yeah. But what's the cure, would you say?
Well, part of the cure is recognizing that we are not in control any longer, that our kids are in control. And because of that, I think it's so critical that we, as parents of adult children, realize that we're going to have to embrace a shift. And the shift is they're in control and we're not. We're not defined by their actions. And that, they're going to make some mistakes, but so did we. And they may come back. They may come back to the Lord. They may come back to their values. They may get their life beaten up a little bit by doing that, but that's going to be the answer. And so when we're in a relationship with them, we have to be the safest people in the room and the calmest people in the room. And we can't just put our anger on them. I mean, there's a phrase that we use in the recovery movement said, you can't want it more than they want it. Meaning you can't want sobriety more than they want sobriety or whatever. But it's the same with our adult children. We have to be real careful. It takes discipline. Paul said to Timothy, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And so you take, for example, so many kids today are walking from faith. Now there's a generation of kids who are also jumping into it. So we got parallel tracks going. But if they're walking from faith, we have to be the people who still are loving them and cheering them on, showing gentleness and kindness. That's what we've got to do. And if we're going to do that right, it's important for us to make sure that we have people around us. But we also have to allow these kids sometimes to doubt. Doubting is not bad. So if they come to you as an adult and they say to you, I've got some doubts, let them doubt. God is bigger than we are. God's okay with doubts.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important issue as well. So we can't panic. And when we panic, we shun and we get angry and we say things we don't mean. And it's time to settle in. This is a marathon. This is not the sprint.
Yeah. Great book. It's called When Your Adult Child Strays. I'm almost done reading it.
Wow.
It's a great book. You'll want to pick it up in the newlife.com store. Lots of Jim's books are available there, so check them out at newlife.com. No, don't check them out. That makes it sound like it's a library where we have a lending policy and you can send it back to us when you're done reading it. No, that's not it, because you'll want to keep a physical copy of it, reference it, underline it, and as things progress with the relationship with your adult child, you can pick it up off the shelf and see, I need help in that department again, that chapter. So When Your Adult Child Strays, it's available in the newlife.com store. Carissa, you're up first when we come back.
I went to Every Man's Battle in 2012. My sexual integrity was not what it should have been. I sought out affairs, whether physical or emotional. Until I came to Every Man's Battle, I didn't understand that would never fill that void.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, affairs, pornography.
The shame and guilt was overwhelming.
For over 20 years, New Life Ministries has been helping men regain their integrity through their one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive.
You will discover what the true root of your pain is, and you will discover how to overcome.
You don't have to struggle any longer. Get help in Dallas, Texas, June 5th through the 7th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Use the discount code NLL to save $50.
Every man's battle saved my life.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Let's go right to the phones and speak with Carissa in Houston, Texas, listening on Sirius XM channel 131. Hi there, Carissa. Welcome to New Life Live. You're on with Dr. Jim Burns and Mark Cameron.
Hi, guys. Thank you all so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
I just want to say y'all have been such a blessing in every single way possible. So thank you guys so much.
Wow. Thanks for saying that, Carissa. How can we help you today?
It's no problem. Okay, so just a little bit of touch base on things. Just the question basically is setting boundaries with my husband and, you know, making those stick and apply to them. Now, I have books. I have gotten boundaries books from you guys. And to be honest, I've noticed that I stay living in like a fight or flight mode. And so my brain is not able to obtain the information that I'm trying to read, nor will my brain like really just focus in on it. So it's kind of hard to take that route, which I know can be very, you know, helpful. And I do listen to the webinars and things like that and try to, you know, get advice and stuff, which I get great advice, but it's, you know, it's applying it. But it's like we've been married for 9 years. We just made 9 years. Also on our 9-year anniversary, which was May the 7th, which is National Prayer Day. I come to find out and I'm like, wow, you know, that's a coincidence because we need a lot of prayers. But that day there was no acknowledgement of the anniversary. There was no happy anniversary, no nothing of nothing. And so, you know, I have a 15-year-old daughter and me and her. You know, we have to deal with it. And she was talking to me this morning and she was like, you know, he's getting on her nerves, you know, this and that. He's always just so mean and picking. Like, there's never a time where she sees him like being like loving and affectionate unless like he's, you know, wanting something. And so it's just, it's hard. And we're not knowing how to like really deal with it. She's like, okay, well, we know what it is. So why is he not gone tonight? You know, and so I don't know. It's like I'm stuck. As a mom, I know these are not the examples that I want my daughter to be seeing. And, you know, like we spoke about, she may not know what love is, but she knows what it's not. And over the years, it's like he gets worse. He gets meaner. And it's just like all the time, just for no reason, just instant meanness. And he is of a different culture. And I try to be mindful and be like, okay, well, I understand there's different raisins. There's, you know, the father was absent and this and that and this and that, but it's very debilitating.
Carissa, is this your daughter's father?
It is not, no, sir.
Okay.
And we have no kids together. He was never able to have kids.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how old's your daughter?
She is 15. She's the youngest.
And how long have you guys been married?
We've been married 9 years together for 11.
Okay, so she was young when you got married.
Yeah,
so
she was 4 years old, yeah. And she clung to him. But as she got older and seen how he was, no, it's not like that at all.
So what boundaries have you tried?
So I have had him leave 2 different times. And both of those times he was being physically abusive. And so I had him leave, and then, of course, he didn't do anything to try to do any different. It was just basically he just kind of, you know, made his way back on into the house, and it was kind of like, okay, some time's passed, and she's not, you know, mad about things and, you know, this and that, so it's just going to be smooth back over, and then he's back in with us. Mm-hmm. But there's never no, he's very narcissistic. There's been, and my, we've been kind of like reading and studying a lot. We are, me and her are both under psychiatric care. We are on medicines and everything because of mm-hmm. this lifestyle. And we've come to realize maybe he might be psychopath, but it's one of those things like, I'm trying to, it's just, I don't want to be on one of those shows. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, this happened, and these were the signs.
So he was physically abusive to you or your daughter or both?
Only me. Only okay. me ever.
Okay. Well, that's not good, and I'm glad that you made him leave. Now, boundaries are really about us and not the other person. Sometimes people think,
yes.
you know, boundaries are, you know, I'm going to set a boundary on you and you'll not do this again. And boundaries are really about mm-hmm. what I'm not willing to put up with. And so a boundary has two essential mm-hmm. elements. It has a limit line, like what I'm not going to put up with. And then it has a consequence for crossing it. And this is the consequence that you mm-hmm. take. So you had him move out. But then when you say then he mm-hmm. somehow made his way back into the house, well, it yep, sounds like you allowed him back into yeah. the house. And so that's, I think, yeah. your work is working on the strength of the consequence and sticking to it, because somehow you're giving up that right. ground. So this
yeah,
is
because I just go ahead and try to have hope that, okay, well, this time he's back, it is going to be different.
Right.
And that's the trauma bonding in me, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that's I thought good. About it yesterday, and I was like, the next time, you know, that it's a situation and, you know, he's being evil and ugly and stuff, like, I'm just going to get up. And I was thinking about, like, I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave and go somewhere, you know, either for overnight or just for a little while, because I've never done that. And mm-hmm. just be like, if I'm going to be around and you're not going to be, you know, treating, us right and stuff, then I'm leaving. We're leaving.
Well, that's good. And is it your house?
I was thinking about trying that.
Is it your house,
oh, yes,
Carissa?
Everything.
Okay. So maybe mm-hmm. he leaves again. And maybe you have mm-hmm. someone help prop you up and be stronger about it here. And so mm-hmm. you've got the right words, you've got the right terminology here, this trauma bond. But what's yeah. happening is I'm hearing you say that, you know, when it comes down to the moment, your brain is in fight or flight and you're either freezing mm-hmm. and you don't know what to do. And so that mm-hmm. part of the brain actually only learns through experience. You can't just tell yourself, oh, this is what I'm going to do and then do it. Planning is good, but when we get into fight or flight, we either tend to freeze, and then because the prefrontal yes. cortex, the part that's responsible for this higher level executive functioning, just shuts down. Mm-hmm. So what I do oftentimes,
and that's how I feel like.
Right.
Exactly
so what I do oftentimes feels. With clients is I will practice with them, because you need an experience. I will be the mean person. Well, first of all, I'll have them be the okay. mean person, and then I will demonstrate their responses to give, and then I will be the mean person. Once I've shown them what type of responses to give, and I will just continue practicing and practicing and practicing with the person so that their brain can form this experience so that mm-hmm. it doesn't shut down in that moment. But I think it sounds like if he's physically abusive and mean and everything is in mm-hmm. your name, you might want to ask him to leave, or maybe not, it's not even an ask, you yeah. have him leave, and then he mm-hmm. doesn't return
yeah.
until there's a demonstration, mm-hmm. there's a proof that not only is he, can he be regulated around you, but that he's working on the issue that's causing him mm-hmm. to go to these great levels
and
of
dysregulation. The times that I have had him leave and stuff, he don't work on the issue, like, mm-hmm. at all. It's like he uses, like, me, like, putting him out and trying to set mm-hmm. boundaries. It's like he turns around and does everything to make it worse.
And this is where you need someone to help you be stronger. There's a mm-hmm. passage in the Old Testament where the Israelites are fighting. I can't remember exactly where it is, but I think it's Joshua and someone else. It might even be Aaron that holds up Moses' arms,
Yes.
And when they hold his arms up, the battle's being won. And when he lets his arms down, the battle starts to be lost. And it's just kind of a metaphor for you that you need people in your life to help hold up your arms, hold you up so that you don't let the boundary fall again and let him back in. And on another show, I gave this advice, and I often give this to people, is that I would have a six-month increment of a timeline of this is what I want to see happen in 6 months. And then you measure
the
measure the progress in that
in,
6 months.
Nothing. Yeah.
And then you have the person help. Then you have the person who is holding you up, your therapist or your pastor, whoever it is, help you make the decision after 6 months if this person continues to not be safe.
6 months sounds like such a long time for something like this.
It is a long time, but people can demonstrate changed behavior in small periods of time. And there's a difference between change and growth. Change is I'm going to change my behavior, but I can change it back again. Traffic lights change, but they change back again. But when something grows, it transforms. It becomes something new. When a tree grows and becomes something new, it doesn't go back to becoming a sapling again. Mm-hmm. And so you really need a sustained period of time to see that somebody can do this in the long term and that growth is happening and it's not going to be what happened with Carissa. Like, oh, I think he's changed. I'll let him back into the house. And now we're back to square one again.
Yeah. Jim?
Carissa, I appreciate so much that you read books and you're looking at webinars. And one of the things you said, and I smiled because I do this too, is you said, you know, I have the knowledge. I sometimes don't act upon it. And I think what's missing here might be that, you've set some boundaries, but then you don't follow through. And so here's my suggestion. My suggestion is to get with a counselor. And maybe you said psychiatric care, so I'm assuming that's a psychiatrist who's giving you medicine. But I'm saying a counselor, like a psychologist or a coach or somebody. And create in a positive way. This doesn't have to be horrible, but you create what we call in parenting a contract. And, you know, there's limits, there's consequences if they don't, you know, if they break it. And then have that person help you over the six-month period that Mark is talking about. Have that person help you hold to those limits. So if you are physically abusive within this time, you are out of the house and no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I understand that's really hard because, you know, there is a love factor here. You've been married to him for 9 years. You know, there's other issues. But again, you've got to give him, he has to understand that there are consequences to his actions. And right now, I think it's a little bit like, you know, if we had an 11-year-old and we said, don't do this, but then if they did it, we didn't give him any consequences. So I think he needs those consequences. Or you're pulling into another part of setting boundaries is a word called codependency. And with codependency, you're allowing him to break through your boundaries. And I think you've got to set those boundaries hard, but have somebody else. When Mark gave the illustration of the battle and they lifted Moses' arms, that's a really good one because somebody needs to help you do that. I think there's a lot of people who they can read and they can go to the webinars and stuff, but what they now need to do is act upon what they know to be true, even though that's pain. And, you know, for him, when it's pain for you because you've got to let him go, for that, but it's also pain for him. And sometimes they say when the pain of changing is greater than the pain of remaining the same, they will change, but you're not really giving them that option too much.
Carissa's daughter is 15 years old, just 3 years away from becoming an adult. And you know, with the situation, the way it is at their home, it's almost like a prime target for straying where the daughter might say, you know what? I'm out of here because this guy, we need to get this guy out of the house. And it just could be the kind of thing where years from now, we don't want that to happen, of course. And we thank you for calling us, Carissa, but we don't want Carissa calling us in a few years and saying, my daughter wants nothing to do with me now.
Right. Yeah. Well, she's got to make sure that she's protecting her daughter. At the same time, her daughter at that age is not going to necessarily like the stepdad all that much, especially if the stepdad's not treating Carissa very well.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it is true that if Carissa's daughter moves out, and eventually she will, she may not want to come back to the house if Carissa's with an abusive person.
Yeah.
And so Carissa said something. She said she doesn't know what love is, but she knows what love isn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that may be true, but here's the problem. If if I have a math problem, you show me the wrong way, I know that there's one wrong way, but I don't know the right way to solve it. And oftentimes people just repeat the patterns that they know, and they get sucked back into them. And so there's a strong possibility that she'll repeat the patterns that she's seeing modeled for her.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. And Carissa, I heard you saying patterns. So when Mark brings up patterns, there's some patterns in your life that may have to be changed in order to resolve this situation one way or the other.
And I think you're right, Jim. I think for you, Carissa, it's codependency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's acting and having somebody help you do the work.
Yep. Thank you so much for calling us today, Carissa, on New Life Live. My name is Brian Perez, here with Dr. Jim Burns and Mark Cameron. Both of these guys have written books that are available in the newlife.com store. Jim's is called When Your Adult Child Strays. It's his latest book. And Mark has written Understanding Your Attachment Style. So get those books from the newlife.com store. And we'll be back in just a few minutes to talk more about what it is that you're going through. As I've said before, you guys set the topic of the show, of the direction we're going in, when you call in and talk to us on New Life Live.
My husband addicted to pornography for the majority of our marriage. I was very isolated and didn't really know which way to turn.
If you've been affected by betrayal, an emotional or physical affair, or pornography, the Restore Intensive will equip you with support and tools to help you through.
I went to the Restore Conference, which seems to be the missing puzzle piece where I was able to find my voice.
When two people want to do their part, we can be restored. But if they don't, we are not stuck because someone else made a decision. God lets us weigh in on how we want to walk out our lives.
The Restore Intensive is coming to Washington, D.C., November 13th through the 15th. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Enter the code NLL for a discount.
I'm navigating my world now. I've had a great experience at Restore.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL.
Hello, it's Becky Brown. I am so excited to launch our 99 for the One Partner Initiative. Every day we hear from people all over the world who are looking for hope. They've been lost in a relationship struggle, addiction, anxiety, depression, all kinds of ways. And it reminds us of the story in Luke 15, where the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go rescue the one. And you know, we've seen God work in the lives of so many people over the years here at New Life, and we want to invite you to be part of what God is doing. 99 for the One is our partner program that you can give to the ministry on a monthly basis to make sure that we continue to reach out to the lost.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433, or newlife.com/9941.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
New Life's intensives are, well, intense. They're built on a clinical foundation and rooted in biblical truth. They are three-day events where you won't just listen on the radio, not that there's anything wrong with that, but you'll actually participate. Led by Christian counselors and licensed therapists, you'll engage in a therapeutic process designed for true breakthrough. Whether you're seeking help for your marriage, your sexual integrity, or recovery after betrayal, New Life Intensives provide the tools and support to experience real and lasting change. You can visit newlife.com for the upcoming dates and locations. This is New Life Live. I'm Brian Perez, here with Mark Cameron and Dr. Jim Burns. And our previous caller was talking, she mentioned the word patterns. And for you guys, that was kind of a clue. That's something that we hear all the time. And how can we make sure that when we're going from, you know, maybe starting a new relationship, or maybe if you're already in one and you look back and you realize, wow, I thought I had married somebody else, but this person is pretty much like my ex. How did that happen? I was trying to avoid that, and yet it happens.
Right. Well, you know, you have problems and you have patterns. Problems are a little bit easier, because if I had a problem, I could go to Mark and we could have coffee and he could say, well, how are we going to resolve this problem? If I have patterns, those are things that have been coming in my life over a long time period. So I've been going to Mark with coffee and he's going to help me out with that. then he's going to help me understand what are my patterns, what are my triggers. Mm-hmm. For example, sometimes, you know, in the recovery movement, we use the word halt. And that's a pattern. If I'm hungry, for me anyway, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And so if I, you know, if I snap at my wife, or if I do something and I went, what is wrong with me here? Or if I just spent 30 minutes scrolling, I look up and say, why did I do that? Was I hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? And that's a part of a pattern. If I get insight on that, that really is helpful to me. So like if I was playing golf, you know, and I'm slicing, I have to learn, well, what do I do to not slice, if that makes sense to any of you who golf? And, you know, you learn that. Well, you can learn what some of those patterns are. One of the things I did one time was I said to my small group, I said, what are some of the negativity patterns that you see me that I have that, you know, I could be working on? And I thought these guys were going to go, oh, you're perfect. You're great. Oh, no. They said, well, you know, and when this happens, this happens. That was really helpful for me because they gave me insight. But I think we want to get to learn what our patterns are. We know what our spouse, I know what Kathy's patterns are. That's easy. I live with her, right? But I'm talking about my patterns. Yeah. And so patterns are harder to break. Patterns are need work. Patterns need to spend some time with a counselor. Patterns need to spend some time with God. And we all have these. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's because we grew up this way. Other times it's because we literally just, you know, found that that's how we cope with stress. My dad coped with stress by drinking. I don't want to be that person, but I cope with stress sometimes in negative ways too. I've got to learn what those patterns are.
Well, patterns often create problems. Yeah. And as human beings, we are patterned. The brain works by mental shortcuts. And it's estimated that 90 to 95% of adult brain's processing is subconscious. So it means our brain just assesses and it goes into the pattern. It goes into the shortcut. And so you can't work on something that you're not aware of. The beginning of growth is awareness. And so if you can become aware of a pattern, you can learn it. You can understand it. Then you can learn to predict it. And once you can learn to predict it and see it happening, you can learn to interrupt it. And we all have patterns. And what I tend to focus on is attachment patterns. People have certain ways of bonding that are learned from their family experiences growing up. And that is the greatest predictor of how your relationships are going to go with people. And if you can understand your attachment patterns and how they come from wounds, and then also know what secure attachment looks like, now you have a pathway of how do I grow from here to there.
Now, you know, I was thinking about that with your book on attachment. It really is a lot about patterns, or as you would say, patterns. Your British accent with a couple of words. I love how you say patterns. We're going to have to.
My wife still hasn't got those two things I said to my wife in the last couple of days, and she didn't understand me. This is after 13 years of marriage. And we're supposed to be speaking both English.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why the audiobook, I'm sure, of your book, Understanding Your Attachment Style, you can hear him read it himself.
Just swoon. He might not understand me, but then if you can, you can understand your attachment style.
Yes. So if you listen to the audiobook and you try something and it doesn't work, it could be that you misheard what he said. So call in and talk to Mark when he's here in the studio. But yeah, great book, Understanding Your Attachment Style, available there in the newlife.com store. Jim's books are there too, as well, at newlife.com. And patterns, something very, when it comes to, like you said, Jim, getting with that group of friends and telling them, hey, be honest, where are my shortcomings? Right. Where are my, these things that I might need to work on that I'm blind to?
Yeah, blind spots. In fact, I said that to my friends. I use the word blind spots. What are my blind spots? And they laughed. They said, don't you know? And I go, no, I'm blind spots.
That's other blind spots.
Yeah, exactly. And that can be very helpful to us. And that's when I read Mark's book and I started playing it practically in terms of our relationship, Kathy's and my relationship, I went, oh, I didn't even realize I did that or I had that. Mm-hmm. But that's because we need that kind of insight to understand our patterns.
Yeah.
Or patterns, depending on
patterns. Yes. That's it. You are listening to New Life Live. No, I'm not even going to
try. The British version.
The British version. I think that was a different version.
Yeah, I don't think that was British at all.
Was
that
South was, Africa.
Though. I don't know what that was, but thanks for putting up with me, everyone. We'll be back here on New Life Live with Mark Cameron and Dr. Jim Burns. They're going to be here to answer the questions that you've got about life. What are you struggling with? Your addictions, temptations, things like that. We'll talk about it.
I was sort of vaguely familiar that the 12 steps had some origination in the Bible. I found Life Recovery. And one of the things I liked so much was that it had such a broad appeal. It wasn't limited to just alcohol or drugs, that it was addressing a wide range of problems.
At New Life, we believe everyone can benefit from a life recovery experience. There are life recovery groups all over the country. They take place online, in conference calls, and in person. And if there isn't one in your area, we can help you start one. We have startup materials, leaders' guides, CDs, Bibles, and more. All with discounts available for groups. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Terry Ward. The 12 Steps have long been a great help to people in recovery because much of the 12 Steps' power comes from the fact that they capture principles clearly revealed in the Bible.
The 12 Steps is really a pattern for all of us as Christians.
You can also find out more at liferecoverygroups.com. Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
When individuals and families reach out to New Life, we want to be here for them, and you can help us when you give towards what we do here at New Life. And right now we're in the middle of a matching gift challenge. So anything you can give towards what we do is doubled up to $250,000. Wow. And there are several ways that you can do that. You can go to our website, newlife.com/match. You can text the word match to 28950, or you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the number. We'll have people standing by who can get your information and everything. But I like using the text feature. I mean, we were talking about phone addiction, so it's not because I'm addicted to my phone. Okay, maybe a little bit. No, but it's just so easy and convenient. You text the word match to 28950, and it becomes like a little interactive thing back and forth. You tell them how much you want to donate, and they take it from there. So thank you for whatever you can do. By the way, you can also submit your questions online in case you can't call us when we're here in the studio. Information on how to do that is at newlife.com/radio. You can leave us a voicemail or send us an email. Again, go to newlife.com/radio. Here's one of those questions that was submitted online. It's from Tim, who wants to know, how do I help my wife stop enabling her adult alcoholic son? Tim says, my wife and I are both on our second marriage, and we've been married for 7 years. We're both Christians. My wife's first marriage ended primarily due to her ex-husband's alcoholism. Unfortunately, one of her two adult sons is an extremely heavy alcoholic as well, and classic enabling is taking place by my wife. She's been confronted by me, her other responsible son and daughter-in-law, but my wife is quite resistant. She had the strength and wherewithal to do the right thing when she was married to an alcoholic for 20 years. She sees and can identify enabling behavior in other people in situations, but not her own. Needless to say, this is causing great strain in the marriage and with her other son's family. Neither son lives in our home. Please help. What would you guys suggest for Tim?
Well, there's a difference between enabling and helping, and I'm sure that she believes she's helping. Mm-hmm. And when, in fact, she probably is enabling, and she may be even be enabling toward dependency on her. You know, there's a lot of moms and dads do that, where the intent is always good. I would first and foremost suggest that she, if she did this with her husband, she needs to go back and think about it with her son, is go to an Al-Anon meeting. Hmm. And get the tools back. Mm-hmm. Because the fact is that it's harder sometimes to in terms of enabling, it's harder to do it sometimes with our own kids than it is with our spouse.
Yeah.
So she needs those tools. And, you know, her new spouse can say all he wants. The son who's sober can say all he wants. But frankly, she's got to have the skills to say, wait, that's me, and hear other moms who are struggling with the same thing. And so I suggest she go to that, and maybe she gets some counseling with it, too. Any good counselor who can deal with any kind of addiction is going to help her move from enabling to, being loving and kind. But she's going to have to do tough love. You know, we always say this about tough love. Tough love means allowing the circumstances of their poor choices to happen. Can't do that if you're enabling your son.
Yeah. Mark?
Well, and that's the part that's hard. We can have all of the knowledge in the world, but being able to apply the knowledge is what is difficult. But it's in that tension where we grow. Growth only happens under tension, and the nature of growth is pain and discomfort. And so I wonder, Tim, if your wife feels a level of guilt staying in the marriage maybe for so long, and now her son has now adopted these same behaviors as her ex-husband. But enabling stems from codependency. Sure. And we do justify our behaviors, like you were saying there, Jim, and because that's how we continue doing them. But it's only when we stop justifying them that it creates something in us called cognitive dissonance, which is the mechanism of how we grow. Cognitions are thoughts, and dissonance is a discrepancy. And so when our actions are going against our thoughts or against our values, we got to do two things to reconcile that. We either change our thoughts and we justify them, or we change our actions. And it's only when we can realize how we're justifying our actions. Mm-hmm. And that creates that discrepancy for us to say, you know what, I got to do the difficult work, and I've got to look inside of me to say, is it guilt? Is it shame? What is it, anxiety, that's keeping me stuck in this pattern? But ultimately, it's keeping the other person stuck, because when we rescue someone without giving them the opportunity to recover, even if that recovery results in failure at first, we rob them of the opportunity to grow.
Yeah. I agree with that. And you know, at New Life, we have some quizzes. And sometimes those quizzes are really helpful. I like quizzes. So I'm going to give you a quiz I wrote for my book, When Your Adult Child Strays. I'm not going to give it the whole quiz. But I think if Tim's wife was listening to this, she probably does this. This is a codependent quiz thing I made up. One of the questions, do you often do things for your adult child that you really don't want to do, but you do it just to make them happy? She probably does that. And she's going, oh my gosh, that's me. You know, and we all do this kind of stuff. Do you tend to sacrifice and neglect your own needs and desires for your adult child? See, those are the kinds of things that we do in codependency that's not helpful to them. And so we suffer and we sacrifice. Do you have excessive concern about your adult child's, you know, habits and behaviors? Well, yeah, she would. She's going to answer that. Well, if she's putting all of her time and energy into things like that, there's nine. I think I gave three. But with that, you know, the problem becomes she's not going to help the situation. She's going to help the situation when she you know, womans up and is not the person who's living a codependent lifestyle with him and not enabling him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's not listening to her husband. She's not listening to her sober child. But she's got to figure that out and then get the help. The great news is there is help. And I would say she's going to get it through counseling and through something like Al-Anon, back to that.
Yeah, your book, When Your Adult Child Strays, is a great resource for that. And like we mentioned earlier. It's been flying off the shelves. I think we even sold the studio copy because I can't find my studio copy here. So I think we were
it's
just
in the
like,
trash can.
No, not at all. But maybe it's on back order. I don't know. But we'll get more and we'll send them out when you guys order them at newlife.com. There's also a free article that you can find on our website, newlife.com. We'll put a link to it there in our show notes. It's called Helping Without Enabling. And which leads me to a question. Do you think Christians have a harder time with enabling because we're trying to be kind, we're trying to be nice to people, so we're afraid that we'll lose our witness if we tell somebody, no, you can't do this, or I'm not going to do this for you anymore? It's like, well, Mom, that's not very Christian of you, or whatever. So do you think it's Christians have a harder time with it?
I think Christians can have a harder time because of the love, kindness, things that that's what we want to project. But if you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus led with love. He showed kindness. But talk about somebody who had set boundaries as well. He did that. He did that well. So the tough love is showing love and kindness. It's just, and that is what Christians need to do when in a situation like this. So I have a friend who wrote a book called No More Mr. Nice Guy. I love that. And he said, no more Christian Mr. Nice Guy. And he said, and he feels that it's because so many of us who are Christians think we have to be nice. You can be strong. You can be healthy and not be angry and, you know, go down the wrong area. So I think we get a misunderstanding of what it means to be Christian if we simply, think that we're just always supposed to be nice and kind. Yeah, we are. We're to lead with love. We are to be kind. Kindness matters. However, it's important for us to also build up some of those boundaries because that's going to help the person in the long run. This mom is not going to help her son become sober by enabling him to continue to live with this kind of behavior.
Yeah. Mark?
Well, it comes back to that concept of cognitive dissonance. So I think Christians can convince themselves to continue enabling because, you know, it's quote unquote the most, you know, what we're interpreting as the most loving, sacrificial thing to do. But we are then enabling. I mean, love is an action, it's an attitude. And when you look at Jesus and the rich young ruler, he allowed the rich young ruler to walk away, he didn't chase after him. And Jesus did that with other people too. So love doesn't mean rescuing someone. It means offering support, coming alongside someone, not going out in front of them and clearing the way, because then somebody doesn't learn to grow. They don't learn to function by themselves. They don't learn resilience. Mm-hmm. And then how can they then lead other people?
I think another aspect of it is the term sacrificial love. We think that if we lay down our lives for our friends, as mentioned in the Bible, that's what we've got to do in every situation to make sure that...
But you have to ask yourself, is this a situation that I've got to lay my life down for? Or is this a situation this person can resolve for themselves with hard work?
Yeah. Good conversation on New Life Live. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back. We've got another question that was submitted online that we will get to here on New Life Live. And if you've got a question for us, go to newlife.com/radio to find out how to get it to us.
What a New Life course is it's around a topic led by a professional, licensed counselor, coach, with a small group of 8 or 9 people on a weekly Zoom call. You're going to go through the information, but also connect as a group. Those group processes make all the difference in the world. And so we have created New Life courses so that you can experience that on a weekly basis. Every week you're meeting on Zoom with that therapist. You're going over the concepts as well as connecting as a group. It is so powerful and it's accessible. Wherever you are, you're going to be able to join us. So you can sign up right away. With 8 or 9 slots open, they're going to go quick. And so you want to call today and get registered.
Begin your transformation May 4th with a New Life course. Lose it for life, take your life back, or healing is a choice. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We know not everyone is able to join us when we are here live in the studio. They can't tune in or whatever. And that's why we are putting up clips on TikTok. You can find us at New Life Ministries. And that way you can still be encouraged throughout the week. Follow us on TikTok. Share a clip with someone who needs encouragement today. This is New Life Live. I'm Brian Perez here with Mark Cameron and Dr. Jim Burns. And I found out during the break that if a truck was coming down the street, Mark would not push me out of the way and get run over by that truck. And that kind of hurt me. No, I'm joking.
Brian, I would.
You would. Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
I love you more
than
Mark.
But the analogy was not if you could get yourself out of the way. That would be foolishness to do that.
Yes.
Because you can move yourself out of the way. So what am I laying my life down for?
Yeah. Good point. So here's another question that was submitted online. This one is from Anna, and she's in New Jersey, wants to know, what can I do to have a closer relationship with my adult daughter again? The background, I was an only parent to my daughter while she was growing up. I didn't marry until she was in college. I used to have a close relationship with my daughter. She is now 45. The past few years, she has become more and more distant and at times not acknowledging me at all. I watched her kids, my grandsons, almost every weekend when they were younger. They are now 13 and 11. I still have them over from time to time. Whenever she needs me, I'm there. But I feel a disconnect and I don't know how to approach her. Lately, I've asked to spend time with just her. And she always comes up with an excuse or doesn't answer my texts. I'm scared that I'll say the wrong thing. I need to know if I did or said anything to her to make her act this way. It's very hurtful, and I don't know what to do. I used to excuse it in the past as she was a busy mom, she worked as a nurse a lot, but now she only works a couple of days a week. I see I have been in denial. What can I do? Jim?
I love that question, because I think there's a lot of parents who had a relationship, a deeper relationship with their adult children. Now with Anna, her daughter's 45, and now it's not as close. And there could be several things. And she wants to get to the bottom of it. You know, is there an issue? Because it may just be, honestly, that her daughter has kind of drifted away just because of life. You know what I mean? And so Anna's going to have to figure out then how to bring it back. If I was Anna, I like the idea of Anna getting some time with her. And it might even be, hey, if the kids are taken care of, because her kids are still fairly young. So if the kids are taken care of and all that has worked out, how about we go on a retail therapy moment and let's, spend an hour over at the shopping center and then let's go get a cup of coffee. Mm. I'm going to buy you a new outfit for your upcoming birthday, whatever it might be. Find an occasion so that they can do. Now Anna has a 45-year-old, so now it's much more, it's not adult to child, it's an adult to an adult relationship. So what does the daughter like to do? And then tiptoe back into the relationship. Now, sometime in there, if they're having a serious moment, Anna should say, hey, I feel like we've drifted away. But Anna shouldn't start with, here's what the presenting problem is. I think she starts by just building back into the relationship, and it may honestly be a reason that's not has deep depth, or it could be. But to get there, to get to that place, sounds like new math. But to get to the place of having a closer, more intimate relationship, you may have to, go around and do some retail therapy, get some coffee, take care of the kids, have a sidebar conversation. It may be, I know a woman who said, same situation as Anna in the sense of, you know, a single mom, et cetera. But what they do, every Sunday night they get together. She brings the food and they go to her house. The kids are taken care of. They go, you know, watch television or whatever. And then she sits and talks with her daughter and this one particular situation is with the daughter and the son-in-law. So, you know, I think there's a lot of ways to jump back into the relationship without making it dramatic and traumatic for her. But she's noticed that. Maybe her daughter, or she could even say to her daughter sometime, not the first opening. But, you know, I just sense that we've drifted a bit anyway. Is there anything I've done that I could do better? And the daughter may say, absolutely. Or the daughter may say, you know, no, I've been busy and I'm distracted and, you know, here's my life.
Yeah. Mark?
Yeah, I think what Jim is saying is a great approach for Anna, because Anna's saying that when she tries to engage her daughter, her daughter may... maybe a little bit evasive. And so if you start with, oh, I really need to have a serious conversation with you, then she may avoid that even stronger. Right. But I am a strong proponent of directly addressing the problem. And I think, Anna, you've got great self-awareness in the sense of recognizing that you have been in denial and that it's fear has been driving the bus for you not to address it. But I think going along, just a couple of extra tips with what Jim is saying here is, one, start with affirming the relationship. Start with letting her know, like, I really love you and I care about you and I'm feeling a sense of loss of not being as close to you. And my goal is to be closer to you because I love and care for you so much. And then also then just listening. If she is willing to say, yes, these are my hurts, the key thing is not to go into defense mode or explain mode. Well, you know, that's not really the way it happened, or this is the way that I see it. You just take it, you absorb it, and at the end you say, thanks for sharing that with me. Can I think about that? And let's have a follow-up conversation regarding this. Yeah.
That is the key. We tend to then get defensive right away, and now it's turned into a, well, you're wrong and I'm right, and that kind of a thing. When in fact, when a parent says to an adult child, you know, thank you for sharing that. I'm really not ready to talk about it yet. I love how you just said that. But I do want to ponder this, and I'd like to have another conversation about it. Thank you. And you know what? I'm sorry, because I think I've done something to offend you, and I'm not, I need to understand that, because I want, you know, I love you more than, you know, life itself. I want this to work. And that changes things sometimes. It's not going to be the I'm right and you're wrong thing.
But it's easy for us to talk about it here on New Life Live, but people listening might say, no, you don't understand. I need to tell them. Why is it? Right. Why is that not the thing to do? Because they need to get it off their chest. Maybe they feel that, you know what, my daughter in this case or my son maybe heard wrong information. I need to get to the bottom of this before.
No, I get that. But I think you can jump to it, too. You can, you know, maybe you have that conversation with your spouse, your close friend, your pastor, your counselor first. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have as much of a need to say it to them. You do have that need. We do that. I get that. I'm not saying we don't, you know, we suppress everything. But I am saying there's a time and a place to do that well. And sometimes that is down the road a bit. So I think we make the big mistake with, and I don't care if it's our adult child is estranged or if our adult child is, you know, going in a different direction in values or things like that. We have things to say, sure, but I think the best thing to do is just not say it and kind of vomit on them our concerns and then expect them to go, that's so helpful, thank you. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a difference between being right and doing good. You can be right and not do good. So it's not that we shouldn't speak the truth, but are you the person to speak the truth? Mm-hmm. And is this the moment to be speaking the truth? Yeah. And, you know, change really occurs in growth, often happens in relationship. Mm-hmm. And so we need to build a relationship. We need to make these deposits first. And I like to also what Jim added in there. Jim added in there just saying sorry. You know, two people who are close to me who are completely disconnected from one another recently have told me, you're not a good apologizer.
Yeah.
I've had to take that on board and say, what can I do better? Even when I have a reason by what I did and I don't think I did something wrong, can I just say to someone, I'm sorry that I did hurt you or that my words hurt you? That's not necessarily meaning that I'm admitting that I did something wrong. I'm acknowledging, though, that they were hurt. Yeah. By what their perception is.
Yeah, and that way you're showing compassion, you're showing empathy. Yeah.
So it's one of your blind spots.
It was brought up to me.
Now you know.
Now I've got to do something about it.
Yeah, that's why he was walking up and down the halls earlier apologizing to everybody. And we're like, for what? It's all cool. But anyway, thanks so much for joining us today on New Life Live. Today's episode is going to be available a little bit later on as a podcast if you missed any part of it or want to hear it again. For Jim Burns and Mark Cameron, I'm Brian Perez. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. The preceding program was pre-recorded.